Good morning and welcome to Plugged Into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. I'm Al Levine and I'm here this morning with Tori Cullen, the Executive Director for Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center. Good morning, Tori.
Good morning. How is everybody? Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're doing okay. So we're here to talk about you this morning. So it's called LIAD for short. Tell me about LIAD and your mission.
Okay, so LIAD is the Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center, meaning that our center can serve people that have dementia and Alzheimer's. And we are committed to the belief that there's life worth living after an Alzheimer's or dementia diagnosis. And our mission is to improve the quality of life for those that are diagnosed and their caregivers.
Sure.
And we really do focus on the participants' abilities, not on their disabilities, and not on what they can no longer do productively. We do serve people from the early stages of the disease to the later stages of the disease, and we focus on everybody's abilities and not on their disabilities and what they could do happily and productively.
And there must be so many variables from case to case, right, that you really can't say this is what's going to happen for sure. Maybe, you know, one outlook might be better than another.
Yes, we really like to focus on hope and give them as much support as we possibly can, because in the years that I've been working at the organization, I've not met one person that's like the other. So a lot of times families do want to focus and say, what stage do you think my loved one's at? And you know, things can change from minute to minute. So we always just say, look, we can work with anyone we possibly can as long as we can.
Right. We're speaking with Tori Cullen, Executive Director for Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center, LIAD. Is there a website, quick, that we can access?
Yes, lidementia.org.
Okay, we'll repeat that throughout the broadcast. Thanks, Tori.
You're welcome.
How does LIAD differentiate itself from other organizations?
So there's many different Alzheimer's organizations, especially in Long Island, but we are a local grassroots organization. And what we, you know, do pride ourselves on is that we offer hands-on programs and services. We work very closely with the Alzheimer's Association, which is a national organization, but our focus primarily is on the in-person programs and services, and all the money that gets raised by our fundraising events goes directly to our programs and stays here on Long Island. And what also makes us unique is if someone first gets diagnosed and they call us, the family can literally go through the journey with us from beginning to end. And we are there every step of the way. Instead of just saying we can serve someone in the earlier stage or maybe in the later, we serve everyone at every stage, not only the individuals that are diagnosed, but helping the caregivers as well.
All right. There's so many people involved in the process that you got a lot of thoughts and a lot of things to attend to there.
Absolutely.
How did you get involved with LIAD? How did that all start for you?
Well, I had, in my career, I'd always been working with the geriatric population, but I had a grandmother who had dementia. And when I was younger, it definitely intrigued me of the symptoms and stages that she was going through. And so I always had it in my mind that it could potentially be something I would like to work with. And so I've been working with the organization since 2003, and really for the last 5 years has been the executive director, moved us from Port Washington to Westbury so we could be a more centrally located center and help more people on Long Island. So I think one of the most important things that makes me feel that we need to help this population is the fact that this disease is so difficult, and the fact that it is progressive, and right now that there is no cure, that it's an organization that I feel like does a lot of great, great, great programs and services that can really help support the family.
So to that end, and I'm not sure how much you are up on current research, but I keep hearing about developments in treatments or early detections. Are we making any progress in that category?
Well, I always sometimes shy away from giving
sure.
opinions about it, because just because we are not research-based, but right now from everything that I've been reading along with you, there is always these hopeful researches that go on and that things that are happening, but right at this moment in time, there's not a medicine or treatment that is going to stop the disease.
Right, nothing solid.
Yes, and I think a lot of people focus on diet and also wonder sometimes, you know, how long they should be on medicine. And I think some of that, you know, does play a part. But I also just think that until we can come to a moment in time where there is, you know, treatment, we need places like ours around to be able to help these families so their loved ones are not stuck at home and not doing anything.
Sure, sure. And of course, we're waiting for a lot of things to come together, like a vaccine for a certain disease that's been around the world lately. How has COVID-19 affected first the Lyatt Center and second the families who normally would attend your programs?
Yeah, this pandemic has been quite the challenge. Our center was closed March 16th and has been closed ever since. But at the time that we closed, the following week, we started pivoting to virtual programs and connecting with our families that way, along with daily phone calls. So it's been very hard because a lot of our families were new to the technology world and needing to figure out how to get on. But we really have done a lot of work in connecting them with our workers and trying to get them to be involved in programs, because we know socialization and stimulation is very important for this population. And just till recent, we are able to start making some outdoor visits to some of our families, which they are very excited about, to be able to get some respite time and for their loved one to get some stimulation. So, you know, a lot of these families, the caregivers are very burned out, and it's been a long, long few months.
Yeah, it sure has. We're talking with Tori Cohen, the Executive Director for Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center right here on Long Island. So after having faced the pandemic with this population, how important is it for the community to have these types of programs?
Well, we have been doing a lot of surveying in the last few months, and the majority of our families would like to come back. So not knowing where they were going to land a few months ago, they really feel, you know, the quality of life of their loved one right now is not good, and they would, you know, really, really want the center to open and get them back into the programs and get their minds going. And the fact is that a few people, yes, they want to wait till there is a vaccination, but I think the majority of our population really wants to get back. We've been doing caregiver support groups online. We've been doing crafting projects. We've been doing trainings online. But, you know, the fact is that getting to see our workers face to face, although it's going to be different and it, you know, is going to be 6 feet apart, it's seeing that friendly face that they've been, you know, seeing all along that they miss.
I'm going to imagine that when people start getting involved with you and, you know, all the activities you have them exercise, their spirit comes up, you know, from the time they first contact you to when they start getting involved.
Yeah, you know, socialization, I always say some people are able to verbalize and some people, you know, really don't have a lot to say, but being next to someone and being a part of something, they are really getting something out of it. So it's a big loss for them and void to be at home and to have our world be completely virtual, and having someone who's memory impaired try to look at someone in a screen is, you know, difficult. So, you know, the sooner that we can get our center open and have it be a safe and I should say protective environment is what we really want.
Of course. So how could someone get involved with Lyatt listening to this right now?
How could someone get involved? There's multiple ways that someone can get involved. We love having volunteers come to our center in a typical, like we say, pre-COVID stage, but they worked a lot with our participants. But we do have some volunteers that had been doing some administrative work and also working at a few of our signature events. We have three signature events that usually happen within the year. We have a women's luncheon that's typically in April. We have a golf outing that is typically in June and was switched to September, which is one of our only events that we will be having this year. And then we have an event that will be coming up November 5th, which we are going to be doing for the first time, a virtual comedy event. So, you know, more details to follow, but someone can, you know, definitely go to the website that we talked about originally, www.lidementia.org, and read up on all of the information. We definitely have people that get involved in third-party fundraising. We had someone locally in Long Island that for the last couple of years has been a third-party fundraiser for us running. I don't know if you've heard of this, Jay Asparo. He's been running on behalf in memory of his grandmother who had Alzheimer's, and at this point he's close to have raised $100,000 for our organization. So that's just an idea. Someone that raised a lot of money, but someone can do bake sales, someone can make bracelets, someone can make anything they want and be able to send their funds to the organization and know that it's going to be used in the best way possible. We also offer corporate partnerships and team up with sponsors to help our programs happen. A lot of times we have local organizations like Assisted Livings that step in, decide they want to sponsor one of our programs, and so they can talk about what they're doing and we can combine and really make a great program for the families on Long Island.
Cool.
And really, finally, too, there's a lot of people that have such a connection with the disease. I mean, I feel like we always say someone's diagnosed every 60 seconds in this country. And the fact is that we feel that a lot of conversation with people and what they decide they want to do in long term, we call legacy giving. And if they want to end up leaving something to the organization and working with us to make that contribution, we're able to do as well.
Okay. So we're talking about corporate partnerships, employee contributions, legacy giving. Yep. What's that website address again?
www.lidementia.org.
And Tori, that's the best place to get all that stuff going, right?
Yep. Yep. It's a really user-friendly website for both a caregiver and anybody else that wants to find out information about us or just find out information about the disease.
Okay. We're talking about the Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center, LIAD. Where are you guys located?
We're located in Westbury at 1025 Old Country Road. And we have been located there since 2017. Our hope was to be able to be more centrally located, to be able to reach more people on Long Island. There's around 55,000 people in Long Island that have Alzheimer's and dementia. And we also have transportation. So we're in a spot that's very centralized, and we're usually have two buses that go and transport our participants to and from their homes. Right now, when we start getting things back in action, it may the transportation may be on hold for just a little while, and hopefully as things progress and we move through the phases, that we would be able to start transporting our participants, which is great because there's a limit to where people can get picked up with our buses, but caregivers find it to be more respite when they're getting that help instead of driving them.
Sure. Sure. You guys have been around for a while, right? And you had a name change too.
Yes. We were founded by five women that were all from Sands Point and all had connections to the disease. And we have been around for over 30 years. And the way the organization started, they thought, well, we have all these different programs and resources, and we want to be able to duplicate them in many different places. So we were started off as the Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation. And at one point people really did get confused. Are we giving out money? What are we doing? Are we offering programs and services? And we decided that we have a center that has a day program that runs Monday through Saturday. We have all these other hands-on programs, and we should be changing it to a center so people really know what we're doing, and that people need to know that Alzheimer's is just a form of dementia, and we serve all different forms of dementia in our center. It's not just Alzheimer's. So a lot of times I think people, you know, get very hesitant. It's one of those diseases that people really still shy away from and feel bad about saying, and it's very stigmatized, but we want people to know we're here to help, and it's can be any form of dementia. There's a lot of different forms.
With dealing with all these people and their problems in this category, Tori, are there common misconceptions that come up a lot?
Oh, the common misconceptions with this.
About the disease, the
yes,
effect, and
yes,
you know, all those
yes.
things.
Yes. I think one of the biggest misconceptions, though, is that people, when they think of someone who has Alzheimer's and dementia, they only think about memory, and they'd be like, you know, so many times people are like, well, I just forgot this. I forgot the name. I forgot the place that we went to. Maybe I forgot the word. But what is the biggest issue is that there's a lot of behavioral change, and that's something that comes along with the disease that can really, really be difficult for the families. So yes, we're tending to the repetition, the impaired judgment, but the fact is that really strong behavioral changes I've seen along these many years, that sometimes people and their behaviors, maybe they stay the same or maybe they come more timid, and some people really, the disease exacerbates their behavior and they're really hard to handle and start acting in ways that no one really anticipated. Right. So that's to me one of the biggest misconception is that people just think that it's just about memory.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there are a lot of different outcomes and certainly reason to be hopeful with you guys around helping coach them through the experience and the situations, I guess.
Well, the good part with us is that, you know, our staff, when we're there daily working with these participants, that we're able to really follow them and know what's happening. So when we see changes or see things happening, that we can point it out to the family and be able to have those counseling sessions on what would be the next step. So instead of them facing this alone, they're able to turn to us and be like, oh, wait, so you did see them with that outburst. They've been doing a lot lately. And should I go to the doctor? Should I not go to the doctor? You know, one thing that we've really done a great job with is that there's a lot of times that we say it's the worst thing in the world for someone that has dementia to enter a hospital takeaway now during, you know, this pandemic, but right. Even in general. So yep. The fact is that any way to kind of stop that from happening, if they just need to go to the doctor, or if we can say, you sure that it's not this, and this, and be able to help them through this process.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Tori Cohen, the executive director for Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center, LIAD. So with the programs you offer, what's the schedule on those kinds of things? Is this a Monday through Saturday kind of thing? What are the hours?
Yes. Well, so our day program, which is at our center in Westbury, is a program that runs from 10 to 2. Now, if it's offered with transportation, people get picked up even much earlier than 10 and get dropped off after 2. So the program does run Monday through Saturday with a lot of different activities on Saturday that can include a lot of caregiver activities, which a lot of our caregivers do like. A lot of times they do want the respite and want to be able to drop off their loved one, and a lot of caregivers want to spend the time with their loved one. We have a chorus program that was meeting. We have some brain fitness workshops and a lot of crafting projects. So our day program is what is in the center. We also have an in-home respite program where our employees go to people's homes and spend 2 hours every other week giving the caregiver respite and spending that individual time with the loved one who's diagnosed.
Sure. Okay. Let's give that website again for people who are just joining in and hearing about all these great services.
The website is www.lidementia.org, and you're able to access a lot of information from our website to do with our programs, other resources, and different events that are going on with us.
So we touched on this earlier in the program. This involves a lot of people, obviously, in the family. Caregivers are a big part of this. So I would imagine you've got programs that are specifically geared for them.
Yes, that's that part of where, you know, I feel like we're unique, that our programs are not just geared for individuals with Alzheimer's and dementia. They're caregivers who, you know, need a lot of help and are the ones that are really, you know, burned out from this disease on a daily, you know, basis, a 24-hour disease. We do offer support groups. Right now they're happening virtually. We were doing it in person at our center, but right at this point in time, we are running several groups online. And we also are doing a lot of caregiver trainings, which is great because there's a lot of different information that's going on about people's emotional well-being, different resources to access. A lot of people are trying to attend on what they're going to do next. And we've had some financial workshops. And also we've had some memory cafe events too, that for the caregivers, where there's music that gets put on and they can listen to music along with their loved one. And we do also, talked about the support groups, but we do also have bereavement groups. So when, especially at this time, we did have many caregivers that lost a loved one, even if it was before COVID, but we've been running bereavement groups, and it's open to everyone, not just our current roster of families. The most important part too is that they have a social worker. We have 4 on staff that are available for counseling and to also give out resources. They can give out home health aides. They could give out doctors. We have a whole list of resources in Long Island that we can give out to these families.
What's advice you would give for caregivers of loved ones with Alzheimer's disease anytime and, of course, during this whole pandemic?
I think the greatest pieces of advice that I've, I've talked to families about is that they, you know, just because they got their loved one got diagnosed, that there is still hope and there is support. And we are not aware of, just because someone might be in that early stage, how fast this disease is going to progress. So there are places like ours that they can attend and they can get a lot from. It's not they got this diagnosis and their life is over. There is a lot that can be offered to them and that their loved one can get a lot of enjoyment from. So, you know, until there's a cure for this disease, we do feel like we are the cure for them at this point, being able to offer these programs and get them through this journey. And with that, knowing that we have a community resource like ours, if there was a possibility that someone thought that they needed to place someone or not, that if they could send their loved one to our program on a daily basis, then they feel like they may not have to place them in a facility so quickly. Not that a facility is the right place to be, but if there wasn't this option, then, you know, we wouldn't have as many people wanting to age in place either.
Right, might not be the optimal solution for that situation.
Exactly.
Tell me a little bit about some of your personal experience with this, Tori. Is there a moment that comes to mind that's especially gratifying throughout this entire process for you?
I think for me, and because I've said I've worked there many, many years, I think the most gratifying part is that I feel after we have worked with a family, and unfortunately, even if someone's loved one passed away, I feel like our families stay with us. They stay in contact. They want to be involved. If it's getting involved in fundraising events, getting involved in volunteering, whatever way possible that they can donate, even during this very challenging times, families that are not able to spend so much money and give so much money, they still are giving because they feel like our service is very valued. So that makes me feel good that it's not, well, we never see that family again once they no longer come to our center. Most of them stay involved, which is really, really gratifying.
Sounds like becoming part of a family, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. What people say when you do walk into our center and see our staff, and you just get a feeling that it is family. And the most important part for this type of population is that it's a routine and that they see familiar faces all the time, not different. So it's really one of those times where when you have people that are working at an organization like this, they're doing it for the right reasons. They have a lot of passion and they feel really good about what they're doing. And I think the families feel that.
Now, you're looking for volunteers?
We definitely are. We're right now, you know, we look for volunteers to work on events for us. The fact of right at this moment coming into the center, we used to have people working with our participants. It might have to be on hold for a little while, but there's always ways that we can have volunteers help us in some of our administrative tasks as well.
Okay. Let's give that website address so that they can tap in and see what's going on again.
Okay. The website is www.lidementia.org.
And you mentioned there's a comedy event, a virtual comedian event. Was it November 5th, I think was the date on that?
Yeah, this is going to be a new event. We typically have a casino event that happens during that time. But due to the part of not being sure if we're going to be able to do a big event like we usually do for that, and we decided that we were going to pivot to a virtual comedy event, which we're still working on the details for it, but it will be, I feel like, our first exciting event of being able to have people in their homes watch some comedians and get a lot of enjoyment out of that. So that would be November 5th.
Okay. So comedians, if you want to participate in this, go to the website. Give that address one more time, Tori.
www.lidementia.org.
Where do you see your organization going in the next year or two? Like, where would you like to be with this? How would you like to expand on what you're doing?
Well, right now, if you asked me that before March, I would have told you that, you know, our goal always in strategic plan would be that we would continue to serve in Nassau County, and we like to also be helping people in Suffolk County as well. Right now, the one part about the pandemic that is an opportunity for us is that we're able to reach a lot of people if we're doing a lot of programs online. So we're reaching more Long Islanders, where when it was just based out of our center, you know, if you couldn't get to us, then you couldn't get to us even if you used, you know, talked on the phone. But now you can be attached to us by looking at some of the virtual programs that we have, and we can serve a lot more people. There's no boundaries.
Right. Okay. Well, continued success. Good luck with everything. And it's been great catching up with you this morning.
Well, I thank you very much. And I really appreciate you having me on.
Let's get that website address out one more time.
www.lidementia.org.
All right. And Tori Cohen is the Executive Director for Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center, LIAD. Thanks, Lori. You've been plugged into Long Island on 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI.